Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
All right. Hopefully my voice will warm up. I apologize. My name is Mark Carmen. Happy Thanksgiving. Oh my. Don't want to be too dramatic here, but it's been a day. So happy Thanksgiving. Hi, Dan Long. What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you?
I'll get there in a second. I got 3 hours. I got to warm under this. Esmeralda, what's up?
Oh, not much. How are you?
So, all right. Let me just say this before I get into any more things. I'm an idiot. I have been. Excuse me. This is going to be fascinating. I have been for my whole. I've lived this way my whole life, which is trusting the universe, which has a million different ways it plays out, right? Like, if I'm going to get coffee at Starbucks or wherever, you know, I'll park my car outside, put the blinkers on, leave it running, grab my coffee, come on out, go. Wherever. WGN Radio in the middle of the wintertime. Start my car downstairs if I like had the time to do it, so it would be warm when I would be down there. You might get where this is going. And certainly, if I'm up in the privileged suburb where I grew up in beautiful Highland Park, Illinois, and it's Thanksgiving, and I just had turkey dinner, and I'm on my way back downtown to get a little quick nap in before sitting on the overnight show, I am going to get off the highway at Lake Cook, and I am going to go to the Thorntons there and pay $2.60 for gas when it's $3, whatever it is in the city right now. And I'm probably going to go to the bathroom, and I'm probably going to go get some tea because, as you hear, I don't sound great.
Sip.
So all that happened tonight. Pulled into the Thorntons. Sweet 260. This is awesome. You know what? I should go get that tea. Be good for me. I'll sound great at 2:13 in the morning. Don't I sound good? And, you know, yeah, okay. I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. I'm in line to pay for the tea. The anxiety starts to hit me. Ooh, this is kind of a long line. My car's out there. You know, what any normal person does, I put the gas in the car. I put it on the lock so it's going to run while I'm in there. Right when I come out, it'll all be done. I don't stand over it. I'm not getting cold. All that. I look out the window. I'm like, I don't see my car. And then I'm like, that can't be. It's got to be there. So then I walk out. I literally walked all the way up to the pump where I parked it. And then I see the pump is sitting on the ground. The car's not there, just like it wasn't from inside the store. And I just look around, I'm like, oh my God, they stole my car and my phone and my computer. And most importantly, my stuffed animal duck that I've had since I was 10. Arnold the Duck, Esmeralda.
Not Arnold.
Arnold the Duck.
Where's Arnold?
He's in the backseat of the car chilling like he always is. I'm like, you know, this is like, you know, my mom had this duck. She passed away when I was young. Like, this duck's been with me forever. I want this, you know, it's a duck. I care about the duck. And I normally don't have the duck with me, but like the last year I've been carrying around the duck. Don't really want to explain all that, but that's been going on. And, you know, so I go back in the store, and I say to the guy, I'm like, can you call 911? They just stole my car. No response. Can you call 911? They just stole my car. No response. Call 911. They just stole my car, please, sir. And then he just looks at me. They stole your car? I'm like, I know.
Did you look at the pump again, sir?
Sir. Right, Vic? Excuse me. Whenever I cough tonight, Dan, you just step in and host the show.
I got to find a drop or something to play.
I'm a little excited right now, so I think it's exacerbating the situation. All right. So, yeah. Yes, over there on pump two, where the pump's on the ground and they just spent $33.17, the red Accord is gone. And so then I walk out and, you know, pump seven saw it and another dude followed him followed him to Lake Cook and watched him get on the highway headed back to the city. And apparently things I'm learning tonight, they don't chase cars. They're not going to go high speed chase on the Accord on Thanksgiving down the Edens and risk everyone's life, which is a great decision, by the way. And you know what else would be a great decision? Don't leave your car while you're pumping gas in the world that we live in right now, because things like this could happen, which, you know, it really just sucks. I can't enjoy, I got to watch over my car while I pump the gas. I can't go in and, it's always got to be safe. And I personally don't want to live like that.
No, how many people really go for the full lock? I mean, I know I'm guilty, and I'm not going to do it now, but, I'm guilty of leaving the keys when I run in, you know, with the engine off, but I leave the keys in the ignition.
Right, who doesn't do that? Esmeralda?
No one in Chicago does that.
Oh, golly!
No one in Chicago does that.
Really?
Maybe Highland Park.
No.
And
anyway, and on that, I'm sorry to yell at you, but
no, you can go ahead.
Why are you leaving the car on in a gas station? That's a no-no.
Yeah, see, I think that's a whole wives' tale.
Sure, and then your car blows up.
But it doesn't.
Or gets stolen.
In this case, now, I'm going to have to change. And so.
So what's the timeline here? What?
So this was, great question, Dan. So what's the timeline? I left dinner at my beautiful girlfriend's, her family, a little bit after 8 o'clock. So I'm probably at the gas station at, I don't know, call it 8:20. And God bless the one guy who saw it and then followed them out of the gas station and then came back to report it. And his name is Mark, and he's 4 years younger than me and went to Island Park, and I didn't get his last name, and I apologize. He reported it, followed him, and then he drove me into the city. Like, you're sitting there at the gas station in Highland Park. I had an overnight show. Let me get an Uber. Not happening. Don't have a phone. Can you call your girlfriend? Nope. Just been with her for 9 months and just had Thanksgiving dinner. Have no idea what her number is. None. Like, do you know your boyfriend's number, Esmeralda?
I know part of it, and then the last part escapes me.
Vic, do you know your girlfriend's number?
I do not have it memorized. I'm with you, Mark.
Right. I'm like, no.
Phone memorizes it for me.
Right. No idea. I mean, I know my dad's number, but the last thing I want to do is wake up, hey, 91-year-old dad, Mike, just got my whole life stolen. No. Hope you're not listening. By the way, Fred, I'm okay. And by the way, 312-981-7200. I would love criticism. And where do you take liberties in life where you absolutely shouldn't? and then it's just come back to bite you. I mean, obviously nobody would say that I was doing anything quote-unquote wrong. Like, I'm not hurting anyone. But I'm taking a chance that's not smart. And it came back to get me in the car. Now, there's part two to this story, which we'll do after this quick timeout. Tonight at 9, there's like part 11 of the story, but we'll do part two next.
I'm driving a stolen car down on Eldridge Avenue. Each night I wait to get caught.
I mean, somebody was driving a stolen car tonight.
Bruce Springsteen stole your car?
Bruce Springsteen stole my car, Vic. I hate Bruce. Guy's overrated.
You didn't deserve that, I just want to say. I hope I didn't sound like I don't have a heart. I feel bad for you, man.
No, hey.
I feel bad. I keep laughing at him. It's a silly. So, well, you got the cars been found, yeah?
That's part two. So,
oh, okay. Spoiler alert.
No, it's okay. Great. Let's have a nice free flowing car stolen discussion here till 5 a.m. Okay. So, I get to the station, and I come up here, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk about my car. And then I've got a rundown after that. But I really just want to talk about my car. And the choices that we make and the liberties we take. Listen, I own it. I was wrong. But, like, I don't even trust myself to change completely, I'll be honest. Like, I am so ingrained in doing the way I do things. It is going to take, it will be like a conscious decision every single time. Take your keys out of your car, stand there over the pump, do that, and a million other like little things that I do that makes my life for 1 second easier that is a risk that I don't really need to take.
Well, how good is your insurance?
I hope it's good. I have no idea.
Well, when you find out, you'll get your car back. You know, they'll give you something. It'll all be taken care of. And you just have to know to lock your doors.
Right.
Just lock the doors.
So, any rate, I come up here, and then Patty's like, the car's here, and I didn't want to do crosstalk because I knew I'd want to like blurt all this out. I figured I'd save it for the show, but then I love Patty like more than I love myself. So of course I just ran down there, and then Tom Hush, who's producer of the show, is like sitting there with like a napkin against the glass, like pounding at me. I'm like, what do I don't care who sends it to news. Like, I thought it was the news sheet. Like, why is this so important? And apparently, of course, that wasn't it, because Tom is way smarter than that, and apparently I'm not. And they had just called at like 1:59 that they found my car. And I have to go to 7800 South Halsted sometime today to go get it. And apparently there's enormous damage on the passenger side, and then there's the driver's side that's got the mirror hanging off, and I think my computer's in there, but my phone is gone. And most importantly, I think, have they called back, Dan?
They have not called back.
Okay, I literally asked the officer, as embarrassing as I'll get out, but I'm, is there a stuffed animal in the back of the car? His name is Arnold the Duck. I've had a...
And I thought you were going to. I think you were going to give him the. It's a present for my kid or whatever, and I want to give it to. No, you went full. You told the truth.
Yeah,
on Arnold the Duck.
I did. I've had that duck forever. He's kind of like my little guy that I carry around for comfort. Is the duck there? And they're like, not sure about the duck. There is a couple of media passes. Oh yeah, great. My Bulls press credential is still there, but is the duck there?
They put out an APB.
I haven't heard back. I said I literally gave the number. I'm like, can you please call the studio line? And if you just get a second, can you go check if the duck is there?
He might be under a seat. Maybe he rolled under the seat.
I mean, can you imagine how scared Arnold the duck was?
He's frightened.
Yeah. Right.
He's chilling in the back, waiting for you to get back in.
Now I'm debating how honest to go here. But I get, and that's frightening. That where am I going now? I get you know, back to my girlfriend's, I'm laying in bed, and she's created a bit of an attachment with Arlo the Duck, too. Like, this is our guy. And it took her forever to get home. So now, you know, now you're on, like, anxiety level. Like, where is she? And I can't call. I have no idea. You know, and apparently this is going on right now. Like, there's a lot of carjackings. The guy that gave me a ride back in the city is like, do you watch the news? I'm like, well, I am a host at a news sports talk station, WGN. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. I'm more of a sports guy, but sometimes they let me do regular shows. And yes, I watch the news, but apparently not enough. Why? Dude, this has been going on all over the place. They're looking for people who leave their car running in malls, in gas stations. And apparently there was like 7 people in this car. And like 2 of them were ready just to jump out and make the move. And apparently like all they're doing is joyriding. And, you know, it's taking whatever, you know, a cell phone here and there. It's like, and I guess, you know, not that there isn't any real consequence for this. If you're a juvenile, they're not going to put you in, if it's your first offense, they're not going to do anything to you. And, you know, even if you're older, there's not a real, you know, consequence for doing something like this. And so now I'm in the quandary. Like, they're asking you, do you want to press charges? And this is like some 18-year-old kid who is a complete idiot. But I don't want him to go to jail for, you know, for 5 years for or whatever it would be for stealing a car.
Right, that's a felony, right?
Right. I mean, like, I don't want that for the kid. But then on the other side, it's like, yeah, I want to like your reflex. Yes, I do. You know. WGN. My name is Mark Carmen. Had my car stolen today. 312-981-7200. Esmeralda in traffic, Vic in the news, Dan Long producing. Esmeralda, you pressing charges if you're me?
When you put it that way, I would maybe want charges, but somehow not to the full extent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you be like, hey, can we do like a let's teach them a lesson?
Can we do the old
community service and some sort of scared straight program?
Right, right. I mean, at some point in life, you have to learn a lesson, right? But then the whole question is, are you actually going to learn anything? 312 texting in, please press charges against the person who stole your car so they think twice before doing it to me or someone else. Do they think twice? I don't know. Oh, man. 630, you're scaring me from the text line. When I took my village's citizens police academy, they said insurance usually doesn't pay if the keys are left in the car. Mm-hmm. I wonder about that. That would suck. And I don't doubt that that's true. Okay. One of the few quote stories from the internet I paid attention to from the 630. If you leave your car at the gas station, take your keys and lock it. Up till then, I left my keys in the car. 630, I wish I had seen that story. I don't know if I would have listened. I'll be honest. I'm that stubborn. No way that could happen. Are you kidding? There's no chance that could happen. It's going to be there for 2 minutes. I'm going to get tea and go to the bathroom. Number one. Come on. I'm going to get a Kit Kat. I'm good. Who in the world's driving around to the Thorntons at Lake Cook and Skokie Boulevard at 9 o'clock on Thanksgiving night that's going to steal a car and rip it and take it to the city? Oh, flat out happened. Also, as I talk to myself here, you know what? When you do it every single time, at some point, you probably are going to get nailed. One time in your life, yeah, you're probably good. Do it all the time. Oh. 815. WGN is reporting over 800 car thefts for week. Tell them to move on. I'm not moving on. I'm sorry. Not quite yet. Whenever I live in Streamwood from the 630. Whenever I pick up fuel, I lock the car when I'm pumping. Wow.
regardless if it's a credit card or paying cash. Thanks, Steve. I should have done that. Who yells at the radio host when their car gets stolen? I'm getting yelled at to move on. Come on, dude. Have a heart. You want to yell at me at any other time on the station, feel free. Can I have a moment at 2 in the morning where I can talk about my car? And this is I'm trying to be introspective here, too, and thinking about life changes. I got a million things I'm thankful for. We'll get to that. And also, you'll love what at 3 o'clock I'm going to get into, Esmeralda, what happened when we went around the table for things we were thankful for and how I got blatantly mocked by everyone at the table. It was
wow! What a day you've had.
It was unbelievable. From my father, and it wasn't even a mocking. It was just a knee jerk reaction that just came out. Dennis, welcome to WGN 312-981-7200 phone line text line. What's up, man?
Hey, Mark. I totally empathize with your situation. And, of course, you know, you can understand. I heard your comments about somebody calling in and screaming at you. But only when you experience this kind of thing, you can empathize. You know, apart from that, it's just a theory. You know, it's just a creep who does that kind of stuff on the holiday or any time period. But, you know, hallelujah, at least you got your car back. To that thing, I heard you talk about your computer, and you probably have files on it, you know, so you talk about your duck. But, you know, the big thing to me would be, you know, those unrecoverable files on your computer. That's most irritating. Anyway, good luck, man.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate you. You're absolutely right. Like, by end of the day, like, that, you know, I was... Yeah, that's the thing. When anything like this happens or whatever, you know, people deal with this stuff all the time. Your wallet gets stolen, you're this, you're that, and your life's impacted. As long as you're okay, man, you're walking straight, you're good. I get that, 1,000%. Oh, I wasn't hurt, nobody was hurt, we're all good? Okay, great. Money come, money go. Cars come, cars go. Computers come, computers go. My whole phone contact list comes and goes. I hope that that's okay. If it's backed up on the iCloud, do you guys understand that level? Does anybody have a technological talent here? Dead silence.
Like what?
Like, I don't know. It says, I'm not going to...
Oh, like all your work and things?
Yeah.
Like, well, if you backed it up on something where you can... you access it on a computer, on another computer?
I logged in and they said that my phone was turned off. Does that mean that they'll be able to find my phone numbers? Oh, they find like three of them. The one that, like...
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I use Google
mm-hmm.
for everything. Gmail, my contacts. So when, like, if I've lost phones and stuff, but everything's backed up in the whatever Google... Right. So then it all just comes right back.
Mm. Okay. Well, I'm hoping on that one. I mean, if I lost, like, Carrie Wood's number, I mean, that would suck. I can't call Carrie.
Yeah, but you've got an impressive Rolodex.
I got a huge Rolodex, man.
Well, is it saved somewhere else? Like, right now, could you look it up online?
I have no idea. I don't. Oh, boy. Well... All right, 847 texting, stealing is a crime. They need to be punished. Maybe not jail, but they need to be punished. 847 says, I was coming from Lake Forest, was on Route 41, and got off going west on Lake Cook. Good luck. Yep, that's exactly what was going on. Well, and, oh, right. So I'm sitting there, and we'll move on from here. Going to go see the car today. Anybody has a good auto mechanic that they would recommend? I would love to hear it. 312-981-7200, the text line. I need a good body shop.
Is this a newer car?
2014.
Because, you know, you could always just be like, new car.
I could be like, new car, but what happens if they're not covering that? Your keys were in the car, and, you know? I don't know.
I'll figure that out and then.
Right. And if you got a nice, honest, reliable body mechanic, I'd love to hear it. 312-981-7200. That would be the text line. But so I was, you know, I'm sitting there waiting for the girlfriend to come home. And she finally comes in, and I'm sitting there, I'm just like in silence. You don't even want to admit that happened to you. Like, it's embarrassing. you idiot. Yeah, something happened. I went and got tea and my thing, and I no longer have a car, a computer, or a phone, and it's 100% my fault. But so we got into it, and I'm like, you know, she just walks in. I'm like, something happened. Got my car stolen. And she was like all smiles and like kind of like, are you kidding? I'm like, not kidding. And she still didn't believe me. And then I got to, and Arnold the Duck is gone. And that's when she knew it was real, and that's when the tears started to flow. It took until I got to good old Arnold, and when I mentioned the duck is gone, and she saw the look on my face of just utter despair, she knew it was real, and then it was, and then we had to have a nice embrace. Isn't that sweet though, Esmeralda? I feel like that's sweet.
That is the fact that Arnold is now a part of her.
Right. I mean, that's just buying in on levels that you never think you would get. Hi, Mark. I'm so sorry about your car. This is not your fault. No one should be lecturing or judging you right now. This is a traumatic experience. It is a little traumatic, I got to tell you. Like, I'm sitting in the car with this dude who's driving me into the city. I've never met him in my life. And he's like, you're taking this better than I would be taking this. And I was just like dead silence, like, you know, sick feeling in your stomach. But what are you going to do? Like, you have to have, like, you got to have perspective, right? Well, at the end of the day, I'm fine. And I'll either get it back or I won't. I'll either see Arnold the Duck again or I won't. And I'll have to either have to get a new computer or I won't. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough that, you know, it's not like I'm not going to eat from something like this. You know, some people are not in that position, and that it's a, you know, this is your whole, you know, you can't cover up the finances of what's going to, I mean, this is going to cost me a lot of money. Thank God I'm doing the overnight show tonight. Thank you, Nick B. That'll help.
Yeah, I mean, I've lost stuff. I mean, I've lost phones and stuff, mostly, again, due to my own drunken negligence, but, and sunglasses, but nothing on the level of a car. But your brain does kick into that mode where, first of all, you're like, okay, did that just happen? There's no way that just happened. And then you just kind of, you're like, it's out of my control now. The only thing I could do is, you know, start the rebuilding process.
Right. And like, I was in the rebuild, Dan, in the car with another Mark who's driving me back to the city, and he's got to go. I'm like, where do you get off? Because he's going to Jefferson Park. And he's like, I'll take you all the way down, man. I'm like, well, you got to go all the way to Ohio. He's like, dude, I'll take you down there. I'm like, I was like in this cocoon with Mark where I started to feel comfortable with a guy I've never met before. But I was like, you know, he was such a, you know, he called the cops. He's telling me all these. It was nourishing sitting in his car. And then we got to where he's dropping me off, and I'm on the street. And I'm like, oh, well, now this is even like, it's another level of, oh, this really did just happen. And now I'm by myself and there is no phone and there's no one to call. And I got to walk in and, hey, doorman, can I get the key to apartment 10, please? Because I don't have it anymore.
Well, I texted you at about 1:20.
Normally I would respond to that.
And I was, because you didn't respond. I was, you know, hey, we're going to be upstairs, I think, just because I want Pete to be able to get the studio ready. And, you know, no response. I was like, okay, it's late. And I knew you were a little bit under the weather. Sometimes cold medicine will put you to bed.
You thought I wasn't coming.
I thought maybe you had slept in. So I called you, went straight to voicemail.
Yeah, it did.
So you either gave me the FU button or your phone was off. And then, of course, you come in. You're like, I got a story for you, but I'll save it for the air. And then I stepped out of the studio to go find a pen or something, and I come back, and Esmeralda's like, did you hear what Carm just said to Patty? I was like, no. He's like, his car just got stolen, and there's cops. The cops are downstairs, like, looking to talk to him.
Yeah, that's like phone tag there. There actually were no policemen here, but they were on the phone. Yeah, Dan, I would normally respond to you. 847 text, I'm so sorry about Arnold the Duck. I'm 46 years old. I have a stuffed dog named King Ripples. That's awesome. I love King Ripples. It's been my constant companion since I was 16. King Ripples, you're the man. All right. Let's move on. It is Black Friday. Patty's out at Kohl's. I want to know what people are buying today, what I should buy today, what ridiculous thing will be on sale today that will make my life better. And I got some tips earlier on it, so I want to run it by the old crew here. Coming on back. We'll move on. My car's fine, even though it's not fine. Appreciate you guys letting me. I think I actually feel better. I do. I appreciate it. God bless WGN. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. It's Black Friday. It's going to be a little bit harder for me to go to the store today, historically. No car to get there. Although, I guess maybe, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be driving around. So, but regardless, who's going out to the I'd love to hear from somebody who was actually out tonight at a store, waited in line, did all that. Like, I'd like to do a psychological study on that person. I'm going to go stand at Best Buy at 7 at night, say goodbye to my family on Thanksgiving, and get myself a, I don't know what, a Toshiba 55-inch LED 4K Ultra HD 2160p Chromecast TV. That was $279.99, $220 off at Best Buy. The old Toshiba 55-inch LED 4K Ultra HD 2160p Chromecast TV. I just don't have that level of motivation. Maybe I should. Esmeralda, are you buying anything today? Like, I was told at dinner tonight that I absolutely, positively have to get an Alexa. And today's the day to do it. Get an Alexa.
I'm not buying anything. I have no need. I have hands. I can look things up on a computer, on my phone. I don't need to ask a thing to tell me things.
Dan Long, you're rich. Are you buying anything today?
I don't know about that, but I may. I'm not going to buy any appliances or anything. I may check out record stores. Sometimes do like Black Friday editions of Record Store Day, where they have like limited releases of stuff. So I may just go, you know, Western Avenue, Beverly Records, maybe Dusty Groove, and see if there's any kind of rarities or anything you can scoop up.
Like, what would you be looking for there, Dan Long? That is a whole nother level of Dan Long I didn't know about. That's cool. Like, you're talking about vinyls? We're talking about CDs? What are we talking about?
Yeah, vinyl.
Vinyl. So you sit in the Dan Long household and rip a vinyl?
I will, yeah.
Can you believe that? Esmeralda, this dude's rocking vinyls in Dan Long's palatial estate.
I believe it.
What do you got in the vinyl collection?
What did I buy most recently? The Robert Plant just released a new record, so I picked that up. Neil Young unreleased from 1976, some just acoustic session, and Conor Oberst.
Oh my God!
Those are my last three purchases.
So you're like laying in the easy chair, going Addicted to Love and. And Neil Young, Dan, I did not know you had a Neil Young side to you either.
Wait, there's Robert, who?
That Addicted to Love is Robert Palmer.
Yes.
Oh. Robert Plant is the lead singer of Led Zeppelin.
Right, I knew that.
I think Robert Palmer has passed away as well.
Is there a dump on around here? Did I just do that? My bad. By the way, Esmeralda, you're legit. I like that. You're competitive with Alexa. I don't need you.
Well, it's also, it's another thing to buy when, you know, again, I got hands.
Hey, Alexa, what time is it? It's 2:57.
I have clocks.
Hey, Alexa, what's the temperature outside?
I got a phone. It tells me.
What about the thing that goes around and, like, cleans your house for you? What's it called?
The Roomba?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Roomba.
You know what? That would be fine, but if it can't get into corners, you know, because it's round.
I mean, what does it do?
It just vacuums all day.
It just Roombas around.
Yeah, it roams around and vacuums, which is kind of nice. I have a cat, so it would pick up dust, cat hair. But, you know, what about the corners? That's
how does it know where to go? Who figured this out?
I think it has, like, sensors or something.
Right, right. Sensors.
And then you tell it. And you program it to, like, from where to where or whatever.
Is it like the air conditioning? You tell, hey, will you turn yourself on between the hours of 10 and 2 when I'm out and clean the house? I don't want you moving around when I'm here. That freaks me out.
I think. The one, you know what? The one thing I would want to buy, but I don't have money to be throwing around on stuff right now, is an instant pot.
The old instant pot. What does that do?
It's a pressure cooker, essentially. But it's got a bunch of things you can do. You can make yogurt, and you can cook all this stuff. And it cooks stuff really fast.
815 is telling me Black Friday you should buy a new car. That is rude. That is inconsiderate. And that's funny. Very good. I would love to buy a new car today. I don't think that's happening. Oh, man. If you're just joining us, my car was stolen. It has been recovered. Massive damage. I left it running in a gas station. Went in to get tea. They stole my car. That's a first. I've had other things go on. Like, literally, if I go all the way back to, like, I remember being a University of Iowa student, and I'd go to the park to hang out, play basketball, whatever. Carmen, your windows are down in your car. I nearly stole your Jordans just to make a point to you. Why would you leave? I'm like, come on, man.
Have you ever gotten robbed, just in general?
My house?
House, yourself.
No. Is that next?
No, I was just wondering, like, if you've ever had that happen. Mm.
815 is at Walmart tonight in Dixon, Illinois. A person bought a 65-inch TV, but had a mid-size car. So you're walking out with this huge-ass TV. You can't get it in the car. That's amazing. Then what do you do? Can I get a U-Haul?
Strap it to the roof.
Strap this. Can I tie this 65-incher that I just got for $300 off on the roof so I'm going to lose it on the highway? Wow. Okay. Black Friday. I always feel like I'm missing out by not doing something. Like, and it's easy now, too, right? You just go online. You buy everything at Amazon. Get a little Amazon Prime going here. Everything gets delivered. Why would anybody?
Isn't that Mondays?
Oh.
Black Monday or whatever.
Is that a Cyber Monday?
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Hey, all right, we got, I guess, a quick time out here, and then we'll get into news at the top of the hour. Great. All right, after that, I will tell how I was completely shunned and mocked at Thanksgiving dinner by my father, by everyone. 720 WGN. I was very much hoping that this text would come in. 847-720-WGN. My name is Mark Carmen, sitting in for Nick D. Tonight, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great day. Hope you have an amazing Black Friday. Go out and get yourself a dustbin for half off that you'll use in your house and clean, and your life will be better. 847, sorry to hear about your crappy Thanksgiving. If possible, press charges against this punk. On another note, this is what I was waiting for. What happened to your co-host last night and his wife? Did she find out he wasn't home? So if you listened to the show last night, my friend who's done a bunch of radio in his life, sitting in, Seth Marks, and his cell phone goes off at 2:58 in the morning. I won't have that problem because my phone got stolen tonight. His cell phone goes off, and I'm like, who's calling you? It's 2:58 in the morning. You know, I think I'm in a little bit of trouble. What's the trouble? Well, we're hosting Thanksgiving today, and I didn't tell my wife that I was going to do the overnight radio show because I was worried she was going to say no, and she just woke up in the middle of the night, expected me to be in this bed, and I'm sitting here with you. And now she's calling me and is extremely angry and was searching the whole house and the whole city and can't sleep and the whole thing. So what happened? apparently Seth tiptoed into the old household, and she didn't say anything, and he didn't say anything, and then acted, I guess the rest of the day went like nothing happened. Which I would say, correct me if I'm wrong here, there is that there was an avoidance there, and that's going to come back to him at some point. I mean, Esmeralda, if you had played it that way, you blow up at your boyfriend, this would be the wife, because he wasn't around, and then you don't address it, and you act like nothing happened, maybe you're having a bad moment in the middle of the night, that does come back at you someday, right? I mean, it ain't over right there, even right. though she made for a nice Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, she just shoved it down real deep, and that's going to come flying out the second.
Right.
It's going to build.
Right. And right.
Yeah, it's going to be real bad.
Yeah. So, let me see here. Jed is calling in. He wants to talk NFL. Jed, did I have Thanksgiving with you tonight?
Oh, man. Did you ever?
So, let's talk NFL in a second, but here, I was teasing this segment up, and Jed is married to my girlfriend's sister, correct? You don't mind?
That is correct.
You don't mind if we get personal here, do you, at 3?
Not at all. At this hour, not on the least.
Okay. So here we go. This is the first Thanksgiving. I bring my father to meet the whole family. And your son, Chase, says to the whole table, hey, can we go around the table and say what we're thankful for? Which I thought was a beautiful invitation for everybody, right?
That's right. Absolutely. But can we not be any more thankful for Cousin Sharon's stories about Ted Williams?
Exactly right. That was amazing. That was incredible. Completely out of nowhere. Apparently somebody at this dinner could have had relations with Ted Williams, but chosen not to. But that's...
others back in that day.
Right. It's funny that I didn't even think about how amazing that comment was. Okay. So it gets to me and I give my thanks, and then it gets to my girlfriend and she says, you know, she thanks her mom and thanks her family, and then she gets to me.
To me.
And she says, you know, and for the for the man of my dreams.
That's right. On the spot.
On the spot. And my father sitting next, right next to me, just audibly, you could hear it three suburbs over. He's like, uh-huh. just a complete, how, yeah, right. And her mother said basically the same thing. It was the equal reaction. The whole table was like completely torched me. And it was such a good torching because it was just like a reflex. Like, that guy? Are you kidding me? Correct me if I'm wrong. Am I overstating this in any way, shape, or form?
You were just fine. No, it went better than you're thinking.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's fine. I'm totally comfortable with how it went, you know, but it was, I mean, my dad literally was like,
I sense the awkwardness. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah. And then, my dad thought that was maybe the most ridiculous thing he's ever heard.
Well, she has to talk to that cousin, sure.
Right. Well, there was a great... Cousin Sharon, that's right. There were some ridiculous things being said, and that was clearly the topper. Like, oh my, and I just sat there like, okay, I'm going to sit with this for a second here. I just got torched by my dad, and your mom, Lori, is kind of mortified too. All right, let's move along. Who's next on the sharing? By the way, 312-981-7200, was that when you get an actual just reflex response that, you know, you're at the doctor's office, is that the ultimate, I don't know, condemnation, dismissal, something of you know, I mean, that should hurt, right? But that was also, it was a beautiful moment. Jed, what are you doing up? I did not think you were going to call. This is impressive.
You know, a man of my word. I should say Dana's on the line as well. Just because we had to call in, check everything out.
Hi, Dana.
I just want to say hi. Hi.
Did I get that right, how I sort of built that whole thing together? I mean, were you laughing too? the man of my dreams.
You know what?
Venus never said that about myself, so let's put it that way.
Well, now,
you know, I think Chelsea was just speaking from the heart, and she meant it in the moment. And I think everyone was surprised, but you know, hey.
Me too. I was like, oh, my God. This is real pressure now.
I was about to say the pressure is on.
Wow. I'm taking it you did not hear the start of the show and you're just joining on now. Would you? I feel like the need.
No, we heard every word. You're in a lot of trouble.
I am, right?
We heard every single word.
I mean, full. I leave your house and 15 minutes later, my car is stolen and I have no phone and no computer. It'll be a Thanksgiving to always remember. I would do it all again, just for the record.
Well, we I guess we missed that part.
Okay. I left your place. I was on the highway and I was looking at Lake Cook and I was looking at the city and I thought to myself, you know what? I should get gas. It's cheaper. Go get gas. So I get off, spin into the Thorntons, nice $2.60, thinking to myself, you know, you're on the radio tonight. You probably should get some tea, maybe go to the bathroom. So I did that. And while I was doing that, my car was being filled with gas until it wasn't. And it was leaped into by two unworthies and was headed straight to the city. And I came out and the car was gone. That's a true story. And that's what we did the first hour of the show, which was tremendous radio, I got to say. My car's gone. My computer's gone. My phone's gone. But thank you so much for calling. I really needed a... But it's been recovered, and I'm going to go see it later today. And I do have Chelsea's card this evening, which is an upgrade for me. So there's that.
So you got that going for you. So that's nice.
Yeah. Yes.
So you're grateful. You're more than ever grateful to have a car at this time on this Thanksgiving.
Right, and that I'm healthy and safe, and here on the radio, and there's nothing wrong. It's all okay, and I'm the man of someone's dreams. No pressure. And my father mocked me openly to people that he just met 3 seconds earlier. Involuntarily, I will say.
But other than that, everything's going swimmingly.
Everything's fantastic. Give me Papa Fred's review. Like, we're not even on the radio. We're just like sitting in a corner. We've known each other for 30 years. How do you do tonight?
Papa Fred's review, incredible. When the man starts taking notes, I feel like that was one of the more respectful things I've ever seen in my life. He was taking notes to make sure that he was able to communicate and understand everyone's name and basically their interests. It was one of the more interesting, incredible things I've seen.
Dana, thoughts?
I have to say I was very, very impressed, and it just warmed my heart to see you and your father at the table together tonight.
Keep going, please. I'm
no, I was just going to say that I can't believe what happened to you, and I feel awful.
It's 100%.
It's just so awful. The kids say it without cracking up.
No, I'm beyond words. I really am. I feel awful.
It's 1,050% on me. As I have said numerous times tonight, I'm the one that left the car running. I'm the one that said, you know, this would never happen in beautiful Northbrook/Highland Park/the northern suburbs of Chicago. I'm the one that has been living like this my entire life. I'm just going to run right in here, get this little Cliff Bar at the old 7-Eleven. Nobody would ever do anything to my car. And now I have to sit with, okay, we're going to have to make some changes here and be a little... Please do not tell your mother this, Dana. I think she'll be terrified for her daughter. So maybe we should keep that away for at least for like another couple of months or something like that. I don't know. I apologize for... But, you know, if you think there's a concern there, maybe, you know, you can just play that out yourself. But that all happened.
You don't need to worry. I got your back.
Okay. I appreciate it. Well, thanks, guys, for calling. Do you really want to talk NFL, Jed? Do you have a? Would you like to?
No, I was more trying to throw you off the track a little bit. I mean, we set the alarm at 3 o'clock and called in. No, we could talk a little NFL if you'd like, though.
Well, I am. You are a diehard Bears fan, right? You go to...
I absolutely am. It's just been taking hold of my whole life. 30 plus years.
And you're keeping your tickets, correct?
I am keeping my tickets. I mean, I feel like, you know, literally it's the worst ticket in the world when they're bad. But when they're good, it is the best ticket there is throughout in sports.
So when it's 3 degrees in December, are you going to go?
No.
Well, will you be able to give them away?
Give them away, yes. Tell them no. And literally, they are, they're wonderful seats, but it's hard to give them even the wonderful seats away when it's cold out and there's nothing to see.
I mean, how many calls?
For anything.
How many calls is that nowadays? A 3-win Bears team, a 5-win Bears team, December. How many calls to get rid of them?
I mean, no one wants them. It takes a scalper. About, I could give them to them. They won't give me anything back except for maybe a Cubs game out in October. I mean, that's meaningless. Or I should say out in April, that's meaningless, basically. I mean, there's nothing going on. So the tickets are tough to get rid of. But the point is, you know, with TV it is and how you want to watch fantasy sports, it's not the great experience that it used to be. So if they're not good, it's not worth my time, especially with kids. It's just too much. It's just too much of a commitment on a daily basis.
Right. It's a big move to get down there. And where do you? I mean, I'm sure you got parking and all that, but it's like for a standard. If you're not a season ticket holder, and you're like, where am I going to park? And I'm going to pay $50. Then I got to walk over the bridge, and it's freezing cold. I mean, in September, a little bit of a different story. Let me ask you this: level of belief in Trubisky, 1 to 10. Where do you come out?
At this point, I'm at an 8. I like what I've seen. There's a lot more he could be doing well. Getting rid of the ball a little quicker, going through the, you know, the progressions. But, you know, it's really his, 18th start he's ever had. So I give him some time, and I like what I've seen. I think he looks like a good leader. He's been poised. But, you know, again, he's got to show a little bit more improvement in some of the accuracy when he's on the run, as well as even stepping up in the pocket a little bit more. I think there's definitely some signs. But we'd like to see in the last 8 games of the year, 9 games of the year, that he shows some improvement there.
You want John Fox back?
Not at all.
You want Ryan Pace?
I mean, I'm not being evasive, but I kind of am.
Oh, God, I love a good Fox drop at 3:19 a.m. That's amazing.
Not at all. That guy's time is come and gone.
What about
ready to move on?
What about Ryan Pace?
You know, I can't say I'm really happy with what he's done thus far, but ready to give him another chance to really hire his coach. You know, I really don't know. There's a lot of, obviously, rumors behind the scenes that it wasn't his choice to get Fox, so if we want to really give him a chance, and it really is his choice, let's see if he can hire a coach that he could really run with. I know he's got relations with that guy, like Carmichael, out of New Orleans. And he's right. Got some other guys that he's friendly with around the league. Let's see if he can bring them in and raise a quarterback, which we missed what they need.
New OC, new head coach, let him roll. They should have drafted Deshaun Watson, for the record. But that's...
Don't disagree on that.
Oh, that is an aggressive take. That one we might go separate podcast, Jed.
We may have to, but the point is, you know, they didn't have to trade out that pick. When you're a rebuilding team, you don't need to trade picks like that to get a guy that, who knows, in the end, could be just as good, maybe a little better than Deshaun. You got to hold on to your picks. That's how you build the team.
What happens if they had traded down, drafted Watson, he was leading the league in touchdown passes and was going to be both the rookie of the year and maybe the MVP. Now, he wouldn't have looked like that in a Bear uniform. I get it. He has no one to throw to. But that dude, I like him a lot. Okay. This was great. Love you guys. Thanks so much for calling. I'm going to send you the podcast. Or I'll send you the clip. It's not really a podcast. Let's be accurate here. Happy Thanksgiving.
You got
Thanks
it.
Thank you.
You're the man.
Thanks.
Keep it going. It's a great show.
Thanks, Jed. Thanks,
all right,
Dana.
Love you.
See you guys. You're the best. All right. There was. I didn't even know they were going to call in. They're like, can we call in? Yes, you can call in. You absolutely can call in at 3:21 in the morning if you'd love to, and we can talk whatever you'd like. But that was the thing, Dan Long. The man of my dreams, and my father just openly
laugh.
I mean, that... Dad, you should have been welling up. Oh, that's so beautiful. Just a full, complete, knee-jerk reaction, mock of his son.
And she was being totally sincere. Like, there wasn't any sort of
cheekiness. No, she was in the moment, and it was super sweet, and I love her dearly and all that. It was just out, and it was real, and my dad was real, too, and gave me the old... Lafferuski. All right, quick timeout. Coming on back here, my guy Griffin House. One of my favorite musicians. I sat down with him. We're going to talk to him at a little after the 3:30 news. This is 720 WGN. Three twenty-five in the morning. Good morning. Black Friday. Get out there. Do it. Battle the crowd. Don't take no for an answer. Flex yourself. Get yourself what you're looking for. Mike's calling in. I think he wants to go at my father, which makes me uncomfortable, but we'll do it anyway. Mike, welcome.
Hey, Mark.
What's up, Mike? How are you, buddy?
I'm fine. I've only been listening about 15 minutes tonight.
Uh-huh.
I heard you talking about your girlfriend and your father.
Uh-huh.
And I said, if you got a brain in your head, you better hang on to that woman and kiss your father goodbye.
Oh, Mike.
Tell him it's time for you and him to part ways.
No, man, I love my dad. I would never do that.
Well, that's okay, but you can love him from a long, long way away.
No. He's the best, man. I can't do that.
The other thing is, tomorrow morning, call your girlfriend up and tell her that you want to take her someplace. Time for you to buy a ring for her.
Where would you take her, Mike? What do you do in your romantic life?
Well, I would take her. I am familiar with a couple of jewelry stores. I'm not going to mention them.
Oh, okay.
I'm not here to hype jewelry stores. But
what happens if you're going to go like for a romantic dinner, Mike? Where would you go?
Oh, home is a good place. Tell her you'll cook.
Home, and I'll cook.
Yeah.
What would you cook? What do you got in the mic?
Whatever the two of you happen to like. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. It's always good to just throw some meat in a frying pan, some potatoes, and have three or four bottles of wine.
Make sure you got enough wine. Little meat in the frying pan, a little potato, and some wine. Mike, I'm telling you.
And a vegetable.
Which vegetable?
Yeah, green beans or broccoli.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of meat are we going? We getting the pork chop out there? We going with the little sirloin?
You're changing the subject.
Yes, I am. Very much so.
When a woman stands up in front of both families and says you're the man of her dreams, you better hang on to her.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you. I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Okay, you're welcome. Oh, by the way.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you know. I'm not quick to give you compliments because you and I have had words in the past.
Yeah, I know, Mike. This is very...
I don't know if you're... Oh, okay.
No, I remember.
But anyway, hang on to her.
You got it.
When a woman tells everybody you're the man of her dreams, hang on tight.
Thank you, Mike. Happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate you.
Yeah, and have nice holidays this year.
You too, man. You too. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Don't you worry, Mike. I'm not letting go. It's my guy, Mike. Meat, potatoes, some wine. Hang on tight. I love overnight radio. I really, really, really do. All right, quick time out. Get you into your news, and then my guy Griffin House will be here. 720 WGN. WGN, always a pleasure to talk to one of my favorite artists. I've had him on before, get to talk to him again today. Griffin House with me here as he is touring once again, making his, I don't know, semi-annual stop in LaSalle, Illinois. This is one of your favorite venues, Griffin. You do the double show down there, and you always have great support.
Yeah, LaSalle is an interesting place. It's like a I don't know how it happened, but it's this great venue in this small little town, and they keep having me, so I keep coming back. It's a great stop.
And you were just leaving Spring Lake, Michigan, so kind of doing a little dance around Chicago, and of course you play here at the City Winery, and you've done some other venues as well. I'm kind of curious, just, you know, how does it work for somebody like yourself who's playing these size venues, and you're driving yourself, and you're figuring out where you're staying and how much? I mean, how does it work, and how challenging is it to make a living doing what you do, as far as just finding the venues, keeping yourself busy, And then, you know, I assume that, you know, what you take is contingent on how many people show up.
A lot of times, I mean, most of the time, I'm doing a lot on my own. So I kind of joke with my friends, like, I'm a full-time trucker and T-shirt salesman and part-time musician. It's like I kind of, like, drive myself, do all these different jobs, like tour managing, and then play my shows, and I hang out with people afterwards. So it's a busy day by the time I get done. You know, sometimes I'm flying out of Nashville and taking all my stuff with me, and then I end up someplace and rent a car and drive to the venue, play the show, and it's just like it's a long work day. Today is awesome because I have Marody Murray with me here today, and he's driving me. He's amazing. So he's offered to drive for this week, and my buddy Lee Coulter is opening, and so a lot of my stuff is being taken care of this weekend. So I'm so relaxed. It's amazing. Like, I just have like a few things off my plate and feeling really, really good. But yeah, most of the time it's good, man. I come from a background of kind of hardworking Midwestern guys and kind of have that in my blood. So it comes naturally to me to just kind of come out here and bust my butt. And the busier I am, the more fun I seem to have. So it works just fine for me.
Yeah, didn't your dad, wasn't he working in a tire shop or something? And your mom was helping the underprivileged. Is that right?
Yeah, my mom was a social worker. She placed kids with foster families. And my dad has been in the tire business since the day he graduated from school. So it was the tire shop belonged to my grandfather, Jack House, and my dad took it over, and he's still there.
What does he think about his son being a musician?
I think, well, he always kind of jokes, like, it beats being a tire peddler. That's what he says. So I said, no, Dad, I'm pretty much do the same thing. I just travel around and, you know, play for people. So, yeah, it's good, man. They're really supportive. My parents have always been really supportive that way.
That's a good job by my mom and dad right there. I give them the thumbs up. The roadies that you got with you, do you have to? How do you entice them to come along? Or are you just that fun of a guy to hang out with?
I don't know. I just somehow I end up being found by some really good people. So I ended up being surrounded by some good folks today. So I got Murray and Lee with me, are two of the finest gents I know, and we're having a great time.
So what are our plans for any new albums? I know that So On and So Forth is awesome. I love it. And but you're always in the what would I call it? The not the operating room, not the incubator, the studio. How about the recording studio, Griffin? I know I'm sure you got more coming down the pipe here.
I do. I've been there's quite a few things I'm working on, and I'm actually really fired up about doing a new record because I'm exploring some new territory this time, collaborating with some folks, and I've been doing some co-writing in Nashville with and that are in some bands that you probably know, but I don't want to blow their cover just yet. So I've been trying to write some songs with them, and we've been coming up with some really, really exciting stuff. So I think my new record will probably be mostly collaborated with other people, songs that I've written with other folks that I, you know, really respect and then inspired by. So that's the plan for the new record. And then I do have some other things on the side I want to do as well. But new album is definitely in the works.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because, you know, one of the greatest rock and rollers of all time recently passed away, and too young at that, in Tom Petty. Well, before I ask you what I'm going to get to in a second here, I assume you were a Petty fan?
He became a huge influence, and I got really into his records around 2004, 2005, and then had an opportunity to go record some of the Heartbreakers in 2007.
Wow.
In LA. So I went to go do that with Mike Campbell and Ben Montench, and a guy named Jeff Trott produced the record. Who's Sheryl Crow's guitar player and co-writer for many years. And actually, he just played a show with Sheryl Crow last night at the Ryman in Nashville. So he did the record. And so Tom Petty was a huge influence, and it shocked me and a lot of my friends of his passing. And we all just felt like we lost our our chief, you know, the head honcho. So he was important to so many of us.
Yeah, that's awesome that you got that opportunity. I've actually been to the Ryman. I saw Mark Knopfler play there back in the day. It was super cool. That was a great time. But so with Petty, you know, the Heartbreakers are phenomenal, and I loved a lot of his, you know, older albums like Wildflowers. I thought was just underrated. It did well, but you know, when you talk about the great Petty albums, few people mention that. I loved Wildflowers, but anyway. The Traveling Wilburys was such a cool, incredible collection of musicians, right? And you're talking about playing with, you know, other guys who you got to, you know, cede some of your space and not be the headliner. And, you know, in the Wilburys, you had Petty and you had Roy Orbison, you had George Harrison, you had Bob Dylan. Some guys with some significant musical egos here, right?
Yeah.
And yet they all kind of just took on their part, and hey, you'll sing this one and I'll do the chorus and all that type of stuff. So like for yourself, you know, how do you look at like, okay, I'm not going to be as heard as much, but I'm going to get to, you know, work with some guys, seems like what you're doing, that I really respect, and maybe create something that I don't know, you never thought possible?
I think you just get to a life stage where that becomes easier, you know, like you've kind of, like I've made 11 records now, and so I've done it before where I've done all the writing myself and all the singing and a lot of the playing. And it's just, I'm to a point where it's just exciting and fun for me to sit down with people that I love and respect and, you know, share a song with them. To me, it's just, I'm at a spot where it makes sense. Not to mention the fact that I spend so much time on the road and then home with the family. It's nice to have somebody else kind of help me carry the load of the songwriting a little bit and collaborate with people. And it just makes the process a lot more fun, a lot less lonely.
Have you sort of figured out like when the best time and what sort of gets you in the mood to create your best work as far as just writing stuff? Or is that just, you can never really predict it. It just comes when it comes.
No, it just comes when it comes. And I think the writing process is more like just like any other job, just get up and suit up and show up and go to work and sit down every day and put your butt in the chair and do your work. And then, but with friends, you know, a lot of times we just get together for an afternoon and it's surprising what can happen in a couple hours. I sat down with a woman yesterday, who's a friend of mine, and we wrote a song a couple days ago. Got a song done basically in like an hour. And I went to lunch and came back and finished it up and came up with this song that could have taken me a year to write. So it's pretty interesting how that can happen.
That's awesome. Hey, let's have a brief political conversation, because your grandfather fought in World War II. It's one of your more famous songs. And you know, you look at the culture and the climate of what's going on and how divided the country at least seems to most of us. You know, is that on your heart right now as far as your writing, and or are you trying to stay away from it?
I'm not trying to stay away from it, but what I am interested in doing is playing music and sending messages out at my shows that brings people together and not divides people. And there's so many opinions flying around on, everybody has access to instant pieces on social media, and everybody wants to have this dualistic, polarized way of thinking of black and white, right or wrong. And I'm trying to send messages at my shows that bring people together. So I'm really conscious that even when I play a political song, like I remember that may ask some questions in it that might be challenging. At the end of the day, the song is a memorial to the people that have bravely served this country, like my grandfather did. And I think no matter what side of the political spectrum you fall on, I think we can all agree that there are people that have served and given their lives to make this country safe, and we owe them a debt of gratitude and honor no matter where you stand. And so I try to you know, ask those questions that are the hard questions to ask, but also just be proud of where I come from and send messages of love and bringing people together.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of looking at it. And I mean, I remember it comes off the Flying Upside Down album for anyone who's looking for it. And of course, you search it, you'll find it in the video and whatnot. How does that, the whole internet thing, which I believe you've heard of, and YouTube and people listening to your music that way, how much of a challenge is it to make money when, you know, people can, I guess, seemingly get the songs for free?
Well, it's just kind of, you kind of just have to embrace the change. You know, there's not really a lot you can do about it, and there's good and bad parts of it, but one thing's inevitable, and that's change, and that's actually kind of what the song I wrote the other day with my friend was about, is, you know, inevitably things change, and I'm lucky that I get to go around and play shows for people, and people keep coming out to the shows, and that's a great way to be able to do it. So, you know, there are challenges with the way that the music landscape has changed, and you know, all the streaming things are challenging. But hopefully, we'll figure it out and just figure out a way that's fair for all artists. But it's good and bad. You know, that's like the long answer, and I just try to take the good with the bad.
Well, and, you know, I'm bringing my girlfriend to the show tonight out in LaSalle to see you, and you know, talking about the good and bad. Well, what, I've never heard of Griffin House. Who is he? Well, and I, you know, you can't, I mean, she's now watching all your stuff, and so she's aware, and she'll be able to sing along, and she's, you know, I mean, I'm paying for a ticket, but she, it's a way of, you know, I think it's, I like that it does pay off, hopefully, in people knowing you and coming to see your show and buying your merchandise, all that. So I guess, you know, you that part of it is a win. And one more thing, and I remember, you know, my father is 91, and he fought in World War II as well. So that, it's just, that song's really cool, because I just, you know, for me, because I can relate to it, is, you know, my dad was over there. Not that he ever saw any hard duty. He went after they had dropped the bomb, and his biggest moment of fame was coming back on some Jeep and the tire blew out. And he had the whiskey for the officers' party, and he had to somehow get back. So there was never anything serious, but it's just cool how you're bringing it all together. What your family when they see you put out a song like I Remember, I mean, I would assume they're super proud of something like that.
Yeah, for years it was great, because my grandfather lived to be 92, so he passed away just before my oldest daughter Emma was born, and Emma's almost six, so I had him around for my whole life, and we were really close, and I'd go home and sing concerts in the park in the big amphitheater in Springfield, Ohio, and get to honor him. You know, the whole amphitheater would kind of get to sing along to the song, and you know, pay their respects, and we actually made a video together for the song, so it was a really nice thing to be able to do. We flew to New York together and made the video in an old house in Tarrytown, and spent 3 days doing the I Remember video. So it's a really nice piece of art to have to remember him by.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thankful for that, yeah.
Super cool. And so on and so forth is the most recent album. You can check out all Griffin House's stuff at the website griffinhousemusic.com. Am I right about that? I've searched it a gazillion times.
That's right. Yeah, you got it.
Yep, griffinhousemusic.com, G-R-I-F-F-I-N, housemusic.com. Always great to talk to you, Griffin House. I wish you continued success, and look forward to seeing you in LaSalle, and when you get to Chicago at the City Winery coming up. When is that? Do you have that date? Somewhere
That's
down the line.
Coming up in either April or May, I'll be back at the City Winery in Chicago.
Very cool. Yeah. Come on out and don't talk during the show. Just eat your food, please. You don't need to make a lot of noise. Just enjoy the program.
We'll talk in between the songs. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk in between.
Sing along too.
Get a little Colleen going, by the way. I love it.
Oh, no problem. We'll get it going for sure.
Such a solid one of your so many, but that's one of my favorites. Griffin House, you're the best. Appreciate the time.
Oh man, always a pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
That is our guy Griffin House, 720 WGN. Our guy Seth is up, apparently listening to the show. I'm encouraging him to call, perhaps sneak out of bed and come in for the 4 o'clock hour. Not getting any response. Maybe he fell back asleep. It would be great to... I mean, that wouldn't be wrong to sneak out for an hour on Thanksgiving night slash Black Friday morning. Is that Annie Mazur already in the sports office at 3:54 a.m.? What a dedicated soldier. Let me see something here. Mazur, can you talk? Mazur's going to talk. I know I got to get a break in here, Dan. Don't worry.
We got time.
I mean, I can't believe that Andy Mazur is showing up on Friday at 3:55 a.m. over an hour plus from his shift. That's impressive in Radio Land. I'm just going to tell you.
Check. Hello.
Good morning.
What's happening?
You've been listening to the show all night, haven't you?
Sure, yeah. Quiz me on it.
What was the major event that happened to start the show?
You were late.
Incorrect.
Damn.
Car stolen, Mazur.
Get the heck out of here.
Car stolen. Pulled into the gas station, put the pump in, went in to get some tea and take care of some business. Came out, car gone.
That is not good.
It's a rough start to a, or a rough end to a Thanksgiving. Now, the car has been recovered. I just got off the phone with the Chicago Police Department. Thank you for your service. Appreciate everything. The most important thing is that, well, we got some significant damages here, and we're going to need a major repair, and yeah. Who knows if this thing can even be salvaged. I think it might be, though. And my computer's there.
Ooh, okay, good.
The phone's gone.
Yeah, you can shut that off, though.
Yeah, the phone is shut off. Yeah. Well, Arnold the Duck, my stuffed animal, my best friend from childhood till now, who was in the back and was probably scared to the end of the earth, is alive and well, and he's ready for a visit.
Well, that's good to hear,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Anything on your mind that you'd like to share with right now?
No, I'm here early because I couldn't sleep, and I did the afternoon shift yesterday, and then didn't have to, but went up to see my folks for dinner.
Uh-huh.
They were eating dessert while I was eating dinner at about 7:30-ish.
Okay.
Got back to my place at about 10:30.
So you're one of those types that when you know you have to be up, you can't sleep.
Yeah, it's forget about it. I could set 6 alarms and I'm still not sleeping.
You don't feel comfortable.
So I'm running out about 35 minutes.
Yep.
We're all good, though. I mean, it's fine. I got coffee, I'm good.
Right. No, you're going to make it. Yeah. And then you'll have the collapse. It's all good.
Yeah.
Did you say hi to the parents for me? Did you wish them a happy turkey?
Of course. It's a given. It's thought of that it already has happened. Yes.
Do your parents like me?
Yes, of course. Who doesn't like them at the Carm?
So many. Such a long list.
Get the heck out. Yeah. I'm not on that list.
God bless you.
Yeah, I'm not on that list.
P. McMurray's coming up at 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a Bradley University reunion every time Pete and I and Jane get to work together.
Did Jane go to Bradley too?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Pete and I were the same year.
Really?
Jane's significantly younger than us.
Significantly?
Of course. She's significantly younger than us.
Right. Well, like, we're talking like 2 years?
Significantly younger than us.
Yes. Okay.
You never say that about a woman.
Well, you've got that touch that I've never really.
Yes. It's a Bradley thing, you know? You know, once a brave, always a brave.
Yeah. Anything you'd like to say you're thankful for?
You know, I'm thankful for you, Mark Carmen, because it's enjoyable to work with you every time we get a chance to do it, which is very infrequently. It's usually when the Cubs are winning or losing, and I have to talk to you either off a ledge or back into reality. One of the two usually happens. But,
Listen, I said this year was part two of the three-peat. Didn't turn out that way.
But okay.
So next, this year will be part two of the World Series run of the decade.
Yeah, you know, they do all those Star Wars things out of order anyway, right? So who cares? Who's talking to you?
Right.
Exactly.
773 texting here. Car stolen. Who starts a gas pump and walks away from it? Keys, duh. Yes, sir. I have learned my lesson.
Yeah, that's one of those things nowadays that you have to kind of pay attention. Not only you have to kind of, you know, where you put your credit card, you have to kind of yank on that thing to make sure that it's not a skimmer. You put your credit, because there's some people that walk around and put these little things on the gas pumps.
Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I got scammed.
Yeah.
You got scammed by the skimmer?
It was, I believe, an ATM. It's been going on at ATMs and gas station pumps.
You got to give that thing a little tug to make sure that it's actually part of the machine.
Really?
So that's the first thing you have to worry about when you get to the gas station. The second thing is you have to worry about making sure your keys are out of your car and your car is locked. And, you know, these are lessons that you're learning as you're going on. I'm just glad your car's okay.
It's not, but I am getting it back, so there's that. All right, that tone means that I'm way late, so let's talk later.
Okay.
Andy Mazur in sports getting ready for his performance on the Pete McMurray Show, which is coming up at 5. Quick timeout, then we'll get you right in the news. I apologize, Vic Vaughn. We'll do that in 2 minutes on 720 WGN. Good morning. 409. Happy Black Friday. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. My name is Mark Carmen, filling in for Nick D, who is hopefully enjoying a great Thanksgiving holiday. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzer's coming up at 5. Andy Mazur along to do sports. I believe it's Dave Schwann doing the news this morning. Do I have that right, Vic? Am I right about that? Is Schwanny Ball coming in?
Yep.
Most professional man in all the radio.
Got that right.
Guy's incredible. Esmeralda.
Yes.
How often when you see a homeless person, do you give them something?
Nope. Not that often, just because I never carry cash.
Right.
Very rarely do I carry cash.
Have you ever run out of gas?
No.
Me neither. Do you know what story I'm referencing that I wanted to give a little love to? Because this is very cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw a little bit about that.
Right. So there's a woman by the name of Kate McClure. And this happens in Philadelphia. It's making the rounds here. And she gets off Interstate 95. She runs out of gas. She's got no money. And she meets a homeless guy by the name of Johnny Bobbitt. Johnny Bobbitt, as they write it, a kind soul with a long beard, used to spend most of his time sitting with a sign on a roadside in Philly. In October, McClure driving down Interstate 95, where she ran out of gas. Scared and nervous, she pulled into a gas station, met Bobbitt. He told her to get back in the vehicle, lock the door. Minutes later, he comes out. With the red gas can, he had $20, all the money that Bob had, and he used it to buy her the gas. So Bob didn't ask for any money because McClure didn't have any. And she continues, though, on her path that she sees him every now and then over the few weeks. I guess she's you know, this is her route. This is where she goes to work or whatever. So she gives him a jacket. She gives him gloves. She gives him a hat. She gives him socks. She gives him a couple dollars, the whole thing. Then she says, you know what? Her and her boyfriend have a little convo. They start the GoFundMe page. They wanted to raise 10 grand for this homeless gentleman. Story goes in the local paper, and then it goes viral. Then it's Thanksgiving. People are in a generous mood. Stock market's rolling. 280 grand for Johnny Bobbitt because he spent 20 bucks on gas, the goodwill of Bobbitt. And now we got a GoFundMe. More than 9,600 people have donated. And McClure's comment to CNN, we wanted to make sure he was safe and go from there. I remember when he got our first donation, he was like, holy, you know what? And that was for $769. And now this guy's got $250,000. Life-changing money. So, I don't know what the message is in all of this, other than sometimes, you know, when you put that goodwill out there, you would have no idea how it's going to come back to you. But, like, if I'm Johnny Bobbitt in that situation, and I want to be a great Johnny Bobbitt, and I got 20 bucks, and that's all the money I have, I'm a homeless guy, I mean, I could see giving like $5 for your gas to get you home, $10. The dude went the entire 20. That is one optimistic, generous guy. Like, if you have no, like, how am I going to eat next? I don't know, but I really like this person, and now they can drive home. I wanted to play audio of Bobbitt, but Bobbitt is, he's so excited in this video that he's using a lot of excitable profanity, which is okay.
Yeah, that happened to my boyfriend once.
What?
He ran out of gas. Oh. This was a while ago in his, I guess, or something. He had been on a road trip with a friend, like he was helping someone move, and then he just, in the end, it was like, oh no, I don't have money for gas. And he had to ask. He was like, this was the worst 10 minutes of my life, like asking for change, asking for just for a few bucks to fill my gas tank. And he said the people just looked at him like he was the dirtiest, worst person on earth.
So wait, hold on a second. He ran out of gas where? Do you remember?
I think it was in the city.
And he didn't have a wallet on him?
I think he had been out of money. This is a while ago, like in his younger days.
Okay, so no credit card, no dough.
Yeah.
No gas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's begging. Basically.
Yeah, he's asking for just a few to get home.
Which no one believes.
Way. Yeah, pretty much. It. He said it took a while, and people were giving him just like the worst looks.
There, you know, people have like gone out and like done studies with that, you know. That makes me want to like, it makes me want to go out and do that and experience what that feels like.
And he didn't look grimy, but he was just kind of wearing, you know, casual clothes.
Right.
But yeah, people were giving him the stink eye.
I mean, I don't know if I could have done what your boyfriend did. I probably would have called someone.
I mean, he was just like, I just need a few bucks. Like, what, someone going to drive over and give me some cash? Like, he just needed a few bucks to get home, so.
Dan Long, you run out of gas and ever been a beggar?
I have never had that experience, no.
Can you, that is a.
Not without cash, though. I did, I was doing the Kramer thing here once where you could at the car dealership when the episode of Seinfeld where they're seeing how low they could get the needle, how close to E they could get. Not on purpose. And it, like, just, you know, sometimes stuff happens and circumstantially. So I ended up hoofing it over to the BP on Ontario Street over there and hoofing back, buying a gas can, filling it up, and then walking all the way back here.
So you got to WGN, you ran out of gas here, and you had to go to the BP.
Yeah, just because I didn't want a chance even trying to, like, hop on the drive and, you know, try to find a gas station.
Oh, so you were so worried.
On my way home.
You were so worried that you had no gas.
Yeah.
The car would start or wouldn't start?
It probably would have started if I I'm not even going to chance it. That's how.
Okay, so you were just nervous.
Yeah.
So you wimped out. You wouldn't Kramer. You did not Kramer. Kramer would have turned on the car and gone, Dan. He would have lived that dream.
That's true.
You were like, no. I'm going to walk. I would not have done what you did. But you also probably are a smart man and wouldn't leave your car at a gas station.
So you'd have tried to drive it over?
Yeah, I would have turned on the car and risked it, of course.
Then you're just stuck right at the gates.
Well, that's how it would have ended up. That's how it would have ended up. Somehow there's always gas in there. There's always some.
You just got to shake it.
You just got to, you know, you cross your fingers, hope for the best. WGN 420. I just want to touch on this for a second. And I want to apologize. Not that I've ever been in this position or would ever act in any way, shape, or form the way so many apparently have acted. But it is just unbelievable to me how many disgusting, creepy, sexual misconduct allegations of people that were looked upon like Charlie Rose as, you know, the highest of morals, right? I mean, Charlie Rose, and I want to say that whenever I watched him, I did feel like a little bit creepy, like there was like, there was just something that was off, but I could never really name it. And my father would always talk about the great interviews that Charlie Rose does. Like, yeah, I don't know if I completely buy that guy. It's like, it just, there's something off. But I would have never thought that what was going on behind the scenes is that he was using his power like so many have. That's not excusing any of them. It's just unbelievable. Harvey Weinstein and the whole thing. To take advantage of women. And then his statement, just incredible. I do not believe that all these allegations are accurate. I always felt that I was pursuing shared feelings, even though now I realize I was mistaken. Dude, that is beyond delusional. You're a 70-year-old, not anywhere close to your prime, looking good man. I'm trying to be nice here. No 22-year-old is interested in you. And if they are, believe you me, if you're going all, you know, Hugh Hefner in his prime or whatever, you will damn well know that they're interested. I always thought I was pursuing shared feelings. Oh, my God. And then the gymnastics world, which you always looked at from afar as just creepy, right? These old dudes putting their hands all over 13-year-old, 14-year-old girls, it's always felt off to me. Like if I was a parent and my kid wanted to do gymnastics, I'd want to do 7,000 background checks on who the coach was. Wearing the leotards and the whole thing. And then Larry Nassar. And I don't know what's going on with Michigan State University, but it's just, it's hard. They should have known more. How about that? But hundreds of girls, the doctor, it's just incredible to me that, it's just beyond nauseating. Now, I didn't want to take a ton of time on this, but I mean, Kevin Spacey, the list is, it's like endless, right? Louis C.K., Charlie Sheen, Dustin Hoffman. I mean, it's like, no, it's borderline like in style right now. No, there's another one. But Charlie, it's like, it's almost like there needs to be, you know how you get like sensitivity training when you get a job? If you get a really, and this is not excusing anyone, let me be very clear, but like, if you are going to be in a position where you make tons of money and there's going to be beautiful women around who you're going to have, who are going to, you know, want your approval because they want to have a career, you almost, there should be like some level, with everything that's gone on, maybe you have to have like some training for these guys. Hey, it's a red flag for you. You're going to feel really, really powerful and feel like you can get away with absolutely anything. And you might even think that someone who would never in their wildest dreams be attracted to you, you might even think that they are because you're super wealthy and super popular. But trust me, they're not, and you don't have the right to do anything. mean, Charlie Rose. I thought I was pursuing shared feelings. Wow. John Cass, by the way, did a great piece on Rose. Well, nothing should be great around this, but a very well-written kind of summation of Charlie Rose in the Trib. Charlie Rose, the time for honoring yourself is at an end. And it's like, you're sitting there, right, like, who's next? I mean, Esmeralda, when you're seeing all this stuff, I mean, what from the female side, what's your reaction? I'm sure it's not a pleasant one.
It's essentially, yeah. Yeah, that happens a lot. So, yes, thanks for noticing now.
Well, and you say that like, I mean, there's like real hurt there, like.
Yeah, because it's been, I mean, ask any woman. They will give you a story. They will give you many stories.
But see, here's the thing, too. Like, I'll talk to, there will be a bunch, women will say, like, hey, she knew what she was doing and why was she going there, right? Like, a lot of victim blaming. She could have let him know. Why would she go? Why would she go to Charlie Rose's house? Right? I mean, like, it's like women attacking women around this.
Well, I haven't seen that really.
I experienced it tonight.
But if that's their thing, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Right.
Because there's so much. I would love to know their experiences with things like that. But you can't, that's never an answer to be like, well, why didn't you just do this? Like, you don't know what was going on in their minds. You don't know what's going to happen. Am I going to lose my job if I don't go over here and do this?
Right.
Is it going to get worse? Maybe I'll just placate him and I'll go over there, but, you know, keep my distance. There's a lot of things that, you know, you have to think about in those cases of power. And a lot of times it's, you know, you fear for losing your job. You fear, you know, if I lose this job, how am I going to make money now?
Right. There's a lot.
Or this person's going to talk bad about me and I will lose my complete career.
A lot on the line.
Yeah.
Steve Cogger's got a great piece on it too at WGNradio.com. I highly recommend the read. All right, let's take a quick time. I will get you into news. 720 WGN. Good morning, 4:35. Pete McMurray coming up, top of the hour. Jane Monzuris will be in. Andy Mazur doing sports. All right, I got a question for everybody on the show here, Esmeralda. Andy Mazur, I'm bringing you in, even though you're not on the clock yet.
It's okay.
So, interesting piece that caught my eye in the Tribune. Sarah Silverman, great comedian. The headline was on Louis C.K., can you love someone who did bad things? And Louis C.K., who's hysterical himself, copped to his sexual misconduct allegations, saying the stories are true. And it was a New York Times story. Five women accused him of inappropriate behavior, offered in the form of pleasing himself in front of them without their consent. And she's asking the question, you know, you have people that you put on the pedestal, right? And you think that they're all that, and you look up to them, you want to be like them, and you laugh at all their jokes, or like Andy, I mean, you're on the sports realm aside,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you of course, you know, were in the booth with Pat and Ron for many, many years, and you grew up a Cub fan, and same thing as me, and then all of a sudden, you get to live your dream and be in the media, and now you're in the dugout, and now you're in the locker room, and now you actually see, oh, these dudes are real dudes, you know,
and it happens,
and then your opinions change, or they don't, and you give them passes. I mean, where do you come out on that?
Well, it's interesting when you're kind of around a team like I was with the Cubs for so many years. You know, there were fans that would be, oh, this guy's a bum. Like, you know, actually, he's a really nice guy. You know, you just start defending guys that maybe aren't performing well on the field because of the fact that they're really good guys and are always accessible. And, you know, we're beyond all that. I mean, just, you know, getting to know a few guys. But, you know, then there were the few. And it didn't only happen to me with the Cubs, but it also happened when I was covering the Bears for WGN as well. I mean, there were some guys on that team that I despised. I didn't want to look at. I didn't even want to. Not that I would root for them to do badly on the field, but if I didn't have to talk to them, it wouldn't be a bad thing.
It's 4:30 in the morning on Thanksgiving. Name one of them. It's okay.
Well, no, I'm not going to name one of them. I'll name the baseball player.
Okay.
Sammy Sosa was one of the worst people to deal with, from my perspective, that I've had in my career.
And see, and that right.
You know, it was disappointing too because I started with the station here in '99. And, you know, that whole thing with 98 and everything with the
right.
with the feel-good situation of, you know, getting to the playoffs and also Sosa and McGuire. And, you know, Sosa was painted as the good guy in that whole thing. And, you know, I kind of saw behind the curtain a little bit. And, you know, it wasn't a real pleasant time.
Esmeralda, what celebrity is the biggest that sort of let you down?
It had to be the Louis C.K.
Right?
Yeah, I'm out. I can't. No.
So you once you cross the line, you're not gonna give him the pass.
Yeah, he's a garbage person.
Right. Well, see, and good for you. You know, because I mean, you know, my sports general life hero has always been Jordan,
mm-hmm.
greatest player of all time, greatest player to play anything. And there's stories with Mike that he's. You know, not a good tipper, or, you know, and people will dog him for not giving enough to charity. And, you know, I'll acknowledge that, and you know, whatever he's hit teammates and that type of stuff, but I'm not turning on MJ.
Oh, and, you know, and I get where Esmeralda's coming from. I just think that, you know, that there is this notion that these people that that you idolize that are famous and that are baseball players or movie stars or comedians or whatever they are, that they have no flaws, that they're actually human beings. I mean, they're people that make mistakes and do stupid things.
Well, we're also talking about different things. Being a bad tipper
is not the same as... Right. No, I get that. I mean, trust me. I mean, I'm sure there's things that are, you know, that float around that could affect some of the people that I hold near and dear, you know, that I look up to.
Right, and...
But I'm just saying that they're human beings, and I'm not just talking about bad tipping. I'm just talking about making bad decisions. Just because you have money doesn't mean you don't make bad decisions.
And to Esmeralda's point, of course, like you know, being completely inappropriate with women is
there's no excuse.
Yeah,
yeah, you can't make an excuse.
I mean,
and you know, the people that have at least admitted to it and copped to it. I mean, you got to have a little bit more respect for them than those that deny it.
But there's still...
Well, but in my mind is I don't associate with people like that in my life.
Absolutely.
As friends, I don't need to give any sort of attention to someone like that.
Yeah, and it's a low scale I'm talking about. I mean, I'm not talking about, hey, all right, he admitted it. He's a good guy again. No, I mean, I'm not saying that, but, you know, it's different that people that actually cop to it.
So if Louis C.K. came to Chicago, you got free tickets, Esmeralda. You're not going.
I'm out.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Like what he did, it's just like, why would you do that? No.
It's a real simple thing. Sarah Silverman's comment, one of my best friends for over 25 years, Louis C.K., had fun, I'll put it, in front of women. He wielded his power with women in messed up ways, sometimes to the point where they left comedy entirely. I could couch this with heartwarming stories of our friendship and what a great dad he is, but that's totally irrelevant, isn't it? Yes, it is. I love Louis, she continued, but Louis did these things. Both of these statements are true. And then they write, she questioned if she can still love her friend. I can mull that over later, certainly because the only people that matter right now are the victims. They are victims, and they're victims because of something he did. I hope it's okay if I am at once very angry for the women he wronged and the culture that enabled it, and also sad because he's my friend. I believe with all my heart that this moment in time is essential. It's vital that people are held accountable for their actions. No matter who they are, we need to be better. We will be better. I got doubts on whether we're going to, I mean, I would like to think we're going to be better, but it would take some dramatic change. Dan Long, what's your reaction to all this? You look.
Well, I'm thinking, and it's got to be harder for her to kind of reckon, for Sarah Silverman to kind of reconcile that, because knowing somebody personally is different than, you know, just being a fan. You know, it's, you have a different relationship than you and Michael Jordan. You know, it's not a hero worship. It's somebody who you know personally and have had close experiences with that has also done something terrible, and you have to kind of reconcile that in your head.
Right. I mean, Mark Maron, who's a comedian, he does this very popular podcast, who's friends with Louis C.K., his quote was, Louis copped to it, and he copped to it late, but he did it. And he's my friend, and it's a difficult decision to be in. Because I certainly can't condone anything he did. There's no way to justify it. There's no way to defend it. And there's no way to let him off the hook. And he tried, he had heard rumors, apparently, about his behavior, and he asked him about it, and, you know, Louis C.K. denied it. I believed my friend, Maron said, and now I'm disappointed in my friend. Now he's not your friend. Or there's also the human side. Can you change? Are you going to get help? I don't want to completely write you off. But then, like, what's the line? I think it's pretty clear with Esmeralda here that when we get into sexual harassment, that is the line. Bad tipper, I don't necessarily write you off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people, at the end of the day, the biggest word that's resonating with me from the whole thing is just, it's just sad and pathetic, and people should feel, you know, really, I guess, angry about it. That all these people who have done a ton of things in their life where they've, you know, become so skilled that they're in the public eye, and then they blow it. Because they're not handling, you know, their internal work, right? I mean, it's not, I don't want to go too far here, but it's like, it's not abnormal for a 70-year-old man to be attracted to a 22-year-old woman. They're beautiful. I get it. That's normal. You can't act on it, you weirdo. I mean, like, the thoughts are fine. You're not, we're human. But where is the judgment? Like Louis C.K., yeah, you want, I don't know what's going on in your head. You're having some fantasy. Just the concept that that you're going to play it out. I don't get it. Like, I don't know exactly what my point is. I'm like, people have thoughts all the time. How do you not stop yourself? I mean, I walk into the 7-Eleven. I'd love to just take that $100,000. Not going to do it. Hi. It's Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a great day. All right, wrapping it up here. Pete McMurray coming up in 10 minutes, along with Jane Manzouris. Andy Mazur doing the old sports, and Dave Schwann will have your news. We started the show with what happened to me today, which was I got my car stolen, which was incredible that happened. And I'm going to get my car later today, and the passenger side's been cracked, and the car's making a terrible sound, and my driver's side mirror is hanging off, and I hope that my insurance will cover it. And I was at a gas station, and I went to go to the bathroom and get tea. As you can see here, I'm not at my best sounding right now. And they stole my car. But I'm getting it back. Now, let me give you another scenario. Esmeralda, do you like ice cream?
Yes.
You ever been to Jenny's?
No.
It's delicious. There's a Jenny's ice cream on Armitage Avenue. Right by a little bit east of Sheffield. So I had some Thai food. And we were going to see a show. And I'm like, you want to get a little ice cream real quick? Me and the old girlfriend, Chelsea. So we drive. I'm like, let's go to Jenny's. It's amazing. It's incredible. You got to have it. So I drive over there. I'm just going to get to Jenny's real quick, right? No parking. Real quick, I'm just gonna do a. I'm gonna put the blinkers on. We're gonna get the ice cream. I'm gonna sit in the window. We're gonna eat the ice cream. I'm gonna watch the car, and we're gonna go to the show. So all this happens. I'm eating the ice cream in the window. Here comes the parking attendant walking up to the car. I come sprinting out of the Jenny's. No. Don't. I'm moving it. Sorry, man. Already printed it. Am I in the wrong here? I got the blinkers on. You're the parking guy. Are you really ticketing the dude who's got the blinkers on at the bus stop across from the ice cream store? Who's running out? And why can't we? Why isn't there a button on that thing saying, you know what? Okay, cancel. Fine.
Why can't you just get in your car and eat your ice cream in there?
Why do you
got to block the bus stop?
It was Saturday night. There was no bus coming. I had a deep conversation with the parking attendant. Why would you ticket the guy that's got his blinkers on? You know that guy's
because
going,
you got your blinkers on, and you think you just because your blinkers are on, you're allowed to be where you are.
That's what he says. Exactly that. I said, you know, I'm coming right back. What did he say?
You were not coming right back.
How do I know you're coming right back?
Sitting in the window.
And I said, I try to make the point. Like, look, I get it. At the meter, if you haven't paid. But like, if the blinkers are on, give a patron of the city a moment to have an ice cream cone. But I didn't get that moment. $100, city of Chicago. Lord knows that's money well spent. I'm sure they'll use it to put it to great use.
I think it's time for a major reevaluation of your habits behind the wheel.
Right? It all plays together.
I agree.
Again, I mean, you would think too, that like if you're going for a 7-minute ice cream and you get a $100 bill for your cone, you would think that maybe the karma would be that you wouldn't get your car stolen at the gas station. I mean, once you get one of those, like if he had let me off and then I had gone for it, then I'd be like, see, man, you could have learned a lesson right there. But you didn't. And now you deserve it. But I that was $100 there, and now this is going to be, who knows how much money this is going to be. Not 100. Mirrors, the whole car could be done. Mazer, are you on my side on this one? Can't you double park a car for 1 second and get an ice cream cone?
Not in a bus stop.
Why are people so loyal to the bus? Nobody.
By the way, and you're getting an ice cream.
Yeah.
You're leisurely getting ice cream.
Yeah, it's not like you were in the hospital or something.
Exactly. You weren't like, oh, I have to run in to the supermarket super fast and get this milk for my baby. See, no, I was like, I need an ice cream cone right now.
And I'm going to leisurely eat it with my blinkers on.
Wow. Full attack.
Sorry.
I mean,
you totally could have gotten in your car, driven off to somewhere else and eaten that ice cream.
That's true. There's
another location, I believe, on Southport.
Oh, yep, there sure is. There's a bunch of them.
Which is usually a little more friendly to parkers.
That could be true.
There's a loading zone there where you can put your blinkers on for 15 minutes.
See, I get it from like Esmeralda's standpoint because she rides the bus and she, you know, all that type of stuff.
Yeah,
so,
I'm the one that's standing there giving you the dirty looks.
Right. Like,
because you're in the bus stop.
I mean, this is personal to you, but like, Mazer, you've never ridden the bus in your life. Why are you so Mr. Bus Stop?
I've ridden the bus.
Oh, come on.
I have ridden the bus.
And I'm also, if I'm in a car.
You're not a
and
bus
I'm driving
guy.
And someone's doing it, I'm like, really? Really? You're just going to put your blinkers on like that?
Why can't you just put a blinker on?
I'm just going to put a blinker on. I'm going to park right in the middle of the street and put my blinkers on. It's cool.
If it was State Street middle of the day, get it. 8 o'clock on a Saturday at Armitage. I don't even know if the bus runs at that time. I didn't see a bus after I parked at any point.
You didn't see the bus because it couldn't stop.
That's not why I didn't see the bus. There was no bus.
What you need to figure out now is how to put your blinkers on a timer so that the guy can see, I'll be back in 5 minutes. Like a little scoreboard countdown clock.
There's nothing, yeah, maybe so. There's nothing like ending up a show with quit whining you were wrong both times on the text line.
Yeah, you're 0-for-2 in a lot of people's book. It's not a good day at the plate.
You sound like a privileged, not nice word from Chris. Thank you, Chris. As if Chris, by the way, that you've never put your blinkers on, Chris. You've never run in to get something. $100.
See, but don't even throw it out like that because you're leisurely getting your ice cream. Mm-hmm.
Why can't a guy get an ice cream and have a blinker?
You can, but you got to find a parking spot. That's not a bus stop.
Or you know what you do?
Yeah.
You leave. You should have left your girlfriend in there. Ask, what do you want? Leave, go get it, come back.
I legit ran. I sprinted out. It was like the parking ticket was like halfway out the printer.
Yeah, but you were sitting there eating your ice cream in the store.
Watching out the window just in case. Gosh. If a bus had come, I would have gotten out of there. So the bus driver, no, I wouldn't have done that. All right. Okay, I got to go. It's been great being with you and all the support I felt here.
Hey, good luck with your car today.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Pete and Jane are coming right up, 720 WGN.